Let's read together Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. In these verses, we have exhortations concerning the possibility of falling short of the grace of God, and the possibility of harboring a root of bitterness, and the possibility of becoming like Esau. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Let's begin this section of Hebrews chapter 12 with some background notes. Notice that verse 12 starts out with the word therefore. Obviously, this is the clue to look back at the first 11 verses of the chapter. In the first 11 verses of the chapter, we saw that the Christian life is like a marathon race. We saw in the first 11 verses of the chapter that God does not make the race easy, but it's designed to train us and teach us along the way. That's what God's discipline is all about. We need to learn how to endure over the long haul. We also saw that it's possible to get discouraged along the way. That's why it's so important to keep our spiritual eyes focused on Christ. Look at verse 3 of the chapter. For consider him, that is Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So in view of all this, we have the therefore of verse 12 and the exhortations that we just read in verses 12 through 17. We see the close connection then between verses 1 through 11, the first 11 verses, and the exhortation of verses 12 and 13 to strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated or put out of joint or disabled, but rather be healed. Just as marathon runners need strength to keep their hands up in the running position, and need strength to keep their knees from collapsing, and need concentration to watch where they are going in order to avoid potholes and anything else that would trip them up and cause dislocations and injuries. So, we as Christians, running the race set before us, need strength for the long haul. It's easy to get weary and discouraged. There are many potholes and debris along the way. We need to set a straight path so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Illustration. You know, last summer I was trying to show off before my grandchildren by pulling myself across the rungs of one of these playground elevated horizontal ladders. You know what I'm talking about? Well, to make a long story short, I injured my rotator cuff in my right shoulder. It hurts. Either my upper body strength had decreased or my lower body weight had increased. Probably both. Well, it still hurts. Everything I do, it seems, is affected by that injury, including running. Well, that's the way it is in the race that is set before us in the Christian life. Injuries can affect everything we do, including our relationship to other runners. We need to stay strong and focused and encourage fellow runners to do the same. Remember, it's a marathon. It is possible to get weary and discouraged, so it's important to heed the exhortations before us. So that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, it is possible to fall short of the grace of God. It is possible to fall short of the grace of God. Verse 15, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. This whole section that we've read in verses 12 through 17 is really an exhortation to elders or church leaders of the Hebrews to encourage the flock to grow strong and endure and move on in the faith. Remember, there were some members of the congregation that were possibly only professing Christians and not true believers. Some of these borderline Christians had become so weary and discouraged and even scared of the persecutions that they were tempted to turn back to Judaism. That is why it was so important that the elders and leaders do whatever it took to strengthen the people and encourage them and build them up and make the path as straight as possible. Now, we believe that this was particularly addressed to the church leaders because of the phrase here in verse 15, looking diligently or looking carefully. This is the same Greek phrase that's translated serving as overseers or exercising oversight in 1 Peter 5:2. So elders and church leaders then and today are to exhort and encourage fellow believers to pursue peace with all people, as we read here in verse 14. So in the midst of persecutions and temptations to go back to Judaism, for whatever reason, even arm twisting from family members, etc., etc., the Hebrews should pursue peace with everyone. But, and here's the big point, not at the expense of holiness or sanctification. Verse 14 again, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now, the sanctification or holiness that's mentioned here is not our positional righteousness, which every believer has the moment we trust Christ. The sanctification here is practical or progressive holiness, which is the Holy Spirit's work in our lives right now. If this pursuit of holiness is not going on in the believer's life, it may be an indication that that person is only a professing believer and not a true believer. Only true believers with the ongoing work of sanctification in their lives will see the Lord and enjoy His presence forever. It is possible to fall short of the grace of God. Threshold or borderline Christians who are only going through the motions and are only professing believers will never see the Lord in heaven, as verse 14 says. I trust everyone here this morning is a true believer. It is possible to fall short of the grace of God. Doctrinal point number two, it is possible to harbor a root of bitterness. It is possible to harbor a root of bitterness. Verse 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Life is not easy, and there are many things that happen that can cause us to be bitter, even bitter against fellow believers, and bitter against God for allowing certain things to happen. Now, if that bitterness is not dealt with before the Lord, it can become a root of bitterness. And a root of bitterness invariably does not stay private. It works its way out and causes trouble, as verse 15 says. You know, I know situations where whole congregations have been defiled and even destroyed because of the bitterness of one believer. No wonder church leaders here are exhorted to make sure that no root of bitterness springs up in the church to cause problems. This is good advice for all elders and church leaders. Now, the particular root of bitterness that the author of Hebrews has in mind here is the bitterness of apostasy. That is being embittered and rebellious towards God and turning away from Christ. We know this not only because of the problem that the author is addressing in this epistle, but because the author here quotes Deuteronomy 29:18. The root of bitterness in Deuteronomy 29:18 was the sin of turning away from the one true God of Israel to the false gods of the nations. It was possible under the old covenant, and it is possible under the new covenant. It is possible to harbor a root of bitterness. Doctrinal point number three, it is possible to conceal the character of Esau. It is possible to conceal the character of Esau. Verses 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. The particular example of an Old Testament apostate that the author of Hebrews presents here is Esau. You remember the story of Esau, right? In Genesis chapter 25, we read of Esau selling his birthright to Jacob. In Genesis chapter 27, we read of Esau not receiving the blessing. Now, the birthright and blessing were not just entitlements to the greater share of the inheritance. The birthright and blessing involved the priestly and pastoral responsibilities in the family, as well as they determined the messianic line. Both Jacob and Esau knew these facts. Jacob was wrong in the way he went about getting the birthright and blessing. But at least it showed that Jacob had a spiritual hunger. However, Esau could care less about spiritual things. He despised the birthright and said, "What good is this birthright to me?" His lifestyle of immorality and godlessness were all evidence that he was an unbeliever. Even though he later regretted and showed remorse and cried when he realized that he had lost the blessing, there was no repentance. You know, when you first looked at Esau, you would never have guessed that he was an apostate. He was good-looking, a man of the fields, his father's favorite son, and probably voted the most likely to succeed by just about everyone. But such an exterior concealed a heart of unbelief. Is it possible that there's an Esau here this morning? It is possible to conceal the character of Esau. Now, what about practical application? Let's watch our hands and knees and feet. Let's watch our hands and knees and feet. It's interesting that these are the parts of the body that are mentioned in verses 12 and 13. Hands speak of serving the Lord. Knees speak of persevering in prayer. Feet speak of walking with the Lord in discipleship. Let's encourage one another in these areas, because it's easy to become weary and discouraged in these vital activities. Have you ever been on a mountain hike and felt like quitting, but then someone came along and said, "Hey, you can do it. The top of the mountain is not that far away. You can do it." You see, the same is true in the Christian life. We can encourage one another. Together, let's watch our hands and knees and feet.